What a wonderful God we serve, who so welcomes us, knowing everything about us, to still a million times, 70 times 7, to constantly say, bring it all to me. We're prone to wonder, but God always welcomes us back, always forgives, never gives up on us. And it's just so good to have that set perfectly for where I wanted to go today. Today we're beginning a new series. The new series is called Reboot. And in this new series, the first one is going to be talking about getting real with God. Just an absolute real day today. This is going to be very different from a lot of my sermons. Today we are going to talk about forgiveness and the necessity to grieve over our sin, to understand that this is not something light to God, that God takes sin very seriously. And in an era that we don't talk about sin very much and people don't want to talk about forgiveness and grace by God, I believe that it's very important that we must. I don't think God has changed at all. He has always called people to repentance, to humble themselves before God. So this first sermon is going to be about that. Next week, we're going to talk about how to get involved. And of course, next week is our ministry fair. And we're going to set our hearts for that ministry fair by talking about how God calls us and welcomes us to find our meaning and our purpose in how we serve our God in different ways in this ministry. Third week, we're going to be talking about get relationships. It's get real and get your work and then get relationships. We're going to be talking about our grace growth groups that week. And then the fourth week, we're going to be talking about get wisdom and how we get wisdom in this world. So I hope that you're here for this four-point series. We're going to have a little bit of fun and go a little different direction during that. For some reason, my sermon is not coming up on my... There it is. Thank you. So we're going to begin by reading from James 4, 7 through 10, which just really puts this as clearly as possible about how we deal with sin before God. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. As I said, it's going to be a very different sermon. But I believe there is a time for everything under the sun, and there is a time to laugh and a time to weep. There is a time for all everything, and this is certainly one of those times before we go to the Lord's Supper. You know that we're told in the Scriptures to not receive the Lord's Supper unworthily, but that we come with a pure heart when we receive communion. Now, I've seen some people who will refuse to have communion because they have ought against somebody. They're mad at somebody, and they're just like, my heart's not right to receive communion. And I want to be as clear as I can be about this, that's not what God meant. God meant get it right, not avoid the dinner. God says, you repent of your sin, you make it right with others, and you come and you receive the dinner. We do not have the excuse to say that I'm just going to stay away today so that I can be miserable and keep hanging on to my anger and grief. No, we repent, and we come and we receive from the God who welcomes us back every single time. So this morning, we're going to be talking about some of our options. What do you do if you're a sinner? And I guess that would make this sermon for all of us, right? come on, don't let me stand up here by myself. we're all in this, right? There we go. All right, we're with me. Thank you. So we are in this together. We know that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. You've heard me say that a million times. I want to serve a humble congregation because I believe humility is the example that needs to be set in the world that we are in. And I believe that if we go walking around like, well, I'm perfect and you bunch of sinners out there just need to learn from me, we'll never reach anybody for Jesus Christ. But if we come as humble people that understand we're sinners and need grace, the world will receive our message. And so this morning, I just want to delve into this, that what do you do if you're a sinner? What do you do with the hurts that happen in this fallen world? What do you do when you hurt somebody else or someone hurts you? What do you do when you just sin against God? And really, all sin is a sin against God. What do you do when you do that? Well, there are four main ways that people deal with it. And James has an answer for all those ways that people deal with it. And I want to just go to the Beatitudes as we begin this morning. Because in the Beatitudes, people look at the Beatitudes and say, what oxymorons these Beatitudes are. Because they are, when you think about it. Blessed are those who are humble, for they will be lifted up. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. We get all these incredible blessed are. Like, how can you be blessed when you're mourning, right? But that's exactly what he meant. And in fact, the word that he uses for blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, it is the most grievous of all the words. There are 9 Greek words. And this is the one that you're just bent over with the guilt and the sadness and the hurt and just pain and agony. It's like I'm falling and I can't get up type of feeling of mourning. That's the word. That's the harshest of all the words in the Greek for mourning. Blessed are those who have a kick in the gut, for they shall be comforted. Now, I know we use that beatitude an awful lot at funerals. And the point that we make when we use that at funerals is true. There is a God in the midst of grief that will comfort us. He is the great comforter. But in context, that's not really what it means. And I just hate to burst a bunch of bubbles today, but that's really not what that verse means. You got to take everything in context. What's the verse right before it? It's clearly not about dying in grief. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. You have to always look at context when you're interpreting any scripture. And that entire beatitude is like a ladder of moving through the steps of getting it right with God. One of the things that I think is a sad thing that got taken out of the church, and it's not just this church, it's been taken out of churches all over America. It's called the mourner's bench. Have you ever heard of the mourner's bench? The mourner's bench was, a lot of times you'll see them sitting in a hallway somewhere in a lot of churches. They're a short bench. They look like one of the pews, but they're about this long. And it's called the mourner's bench. And they were present in churches all over America at one point. So that when they were called to the altar, they went to the mourner's bench. And they sat in the mourner's bench and they grieved and mourned over their sin before they went to the altar to accept forgiveness. And I think maybe we've lost something here. That we don't realize just how sad God is about sin. How it grieves God's heart that we have sinned and fallen short of His glory, that we have treated God as a stiff-necked and rebellious generation that we have become. How does God deal with this? And so this morning we want to talk about the games that people play to deal with it. What do you do? What are your options? Well, some people try to just suppress it. You know what I mean by suppressing it? These are the people that just don't confront it. They try to forget it. You know, it's like the guy that was, you know, when the flood happened here, there was stuff floating down the roadway, and this neighbor walked over to the neighbors, and he saw a toy and some furniture floating by, and then he saw this hat coming down. And then the hat went back up, and the hat came back down. And the hat went back up, and he says, what's going on there? He says, well, that's John. He said he was going to mow the lawn today, come hell or high water. And there are people, yeah, I lied there, didn't I? That didn't happen. But we try to suppress it like that. And we will swallow hard. And we'll drink it away, we'll smoke it away, we'll anger it away, we'll stay in bed it away. We will find any way to suppress it. And that's not very healthy, as you might imagine. See, David tried this. David, King David, who was the chief of all sinners, he wrote it like this. Could we read it together? When I refuse to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. That's what happens when we do it. These are the people who say, it's not my fault the whole time the marriage is falling apart. These are the people that say, it's not my fault. It's my boss that I can't get along at work. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's never my fault. We just suppress it and suppress it. And meanwhile, we're losing everything. That's the first way of dealing with it. The second way of dealing with it is to play it again, Sam. You know what I mean by that, right? Now, you live close enough to Punxsutawney that I don't even have to introduce this one.
In Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
Phil, Ned! Ned Ryerson, I did the whistling belly button trick at the high school talent show.
Bing!
Bing!
But Phil's about to find out. He's not just stuck in Punxsutawney.
Will you be checking out today, Mr. Connors?
Chance of departure today, 100%.
He's stuck.
It's Groundhog Day!
In Groundhog Day.
I'm reliving the same day over and over.
Phil?
Ned Ryerson?
Bing!
Do you ever have deja vu, Mrs. Lancaster?
I don't think so, but I could check with the kitchen.
Well, it's Groundhog Day. Again?
Yeah, you know, I just dated myself by using a video from Groundhog. But I'm going to date myself again. Remember 8-tracks? If you didn't push the button, it just repeated. These are the people. They sin, they feel bad about it, and they go back and they do it again. They sin, they feel bad about it, and they go back and do it again. They feel bad about it. These are the play it again sins. These are the Proverbs 6:11 people. I hate to bring this topic up. I know we haven't had lunch yet, but breakfast is over, so let's give it a go. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. That is not the way to do it. These are the people who say, I'm terrible. There's no use trying. And they just give up. And they just keep repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. They start their own hee-haw party. I dated myself again. But you know what I'm talking about. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Oh, yeah. And what do they do at the end? They take a bottle. Why do we want to put ourselves in these prisons? When God just wants us to accept forgiveness. The next thing we do is we resent it. A lot of people deal with sin this way. They resent their sin, and so they resent the person that they blame for causing them to sin. And they blame themselves for causing them to sin. And they get angry, and they feel very nasty toward other people. And these are total resentment about every breath that they take, people. These are the people who just cannot accept grace. Resentment. Boy, is it something. I don't know about you, but I don't like resentment. And yet I do it sometimes. You ever hear the one about the lady walked into a bird store wanting to attack bird? She says, I want the nastiest bird you have. The guy says, why would you want a bird like that? She says, none of your business. I just want a nasty bird. And he says, okay, I do have one. I don't understand why you'd want it. But he says, attack bird that chair. And the bird just attacks the chair and just destroys it. She says, that's perfect. I'll take that home. She says, if you don't mind me saying, what are you going to do with it? She says, well, I'm going to take it home. I'm going to tell my husband this is my attack bird. He says, attack bird my foot. This prison of resentment, it is something that can make the prison of pride look like a beach party. Resentment, playing it again, suppressing it, are just absolute prisons. So today, let's begin to talk about releasing it. I think releasing it is so key to life. I believe that God really forgives. I really believe this. I am never going to give up on that message. I believe to the core of my being that if we repent of our sin, that God will forgive us and He will release us no matter what we've done. This is God's heart. And He is a forgiving God. And I am a fundamentalist in that one. That God is a forgiving God. 70 times 7. As many times as we need it. So many people think that when we come back to God, that God will just, He'll just hold the grudge against us. But friends, here's what the Bible says. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. When we let God into these prisons that we build around ourselves. Remember the children in Egypt, when they were in slavery, they couldn't get themselves out of it, could they? But God sent them a Savior in the person of Moses. And the good news for you and I is we don't just have Moses, who is merely a man. We have God in the flesh who came among us and dwelt among us and died on the cross so that you and I could be forgiven. And that's what we're celebrating in the Lord's Supper. We are saying that I believe in this God who died on a cross because of me. Not just for me, but because of me. That's why it's such a big deal. That's why repentance is such a big deal. That's why releasing it is such a huge deal. I have this from 1 John 1:9, and you may have heard this many times as you receive communion. And I just want you to realize as you read this, what a big deal this is. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and get this part, and to cleanse us from all wickedness. All. You tell your neighbor, all. Go ahead. I'm serious. All. That's an all-inclusive word, isn't it? All wickedness when we repent of it. He will cleanse us from all. You talk about releasing. Man. I don't know about you. But I find myself in need of repenting regularly. I hope you do too. What I found is His mercies are new every single day. Every single day. I have never gone to God and have God say, "Ooh, Bill, you come back to that one a few too many times. Let's get the list out here." He doesn't do that. For He remembers my sin no more. No matter what I was forgiven for yesterday, I could come to Him today and say, "God, please forgive me." And He'll do it. I believe that. Do you believe that? Praise the Lord. Because that is the beginning of releasing it. When we believe that with all of our heart. You know, if we don't repent of it, be sure of this, your sin will find you out. And that's what happens in those prisons. It will come out. This is such a heavy sermon, I just feel like I need to give you some release every once in a while. You heard about the guy that was stopped for speeding? His wife says, "Oh, way to go, John." The policeman comes up alongside the car, and he says, "Sorry, sir, I didn't realize I was speeding." She says, "Oh, you knew you were speeding, John. You do it all the time." And the policeman says, "That's what I figured. Sir, I noticed you don't have your seatbelt on." He says, "Oh, well, you know, I usually have it on, but I just took it off to get my wallet out." And the wife says, "No, you didn't, John. You never wear. If you pulled that out, dust would fly off of it." He gets mad, and he just starts yelling and screaming at her. The policeman says, "Does he always treat you like this, lady?" And she says, "Only when he's drunk." Be sure your sin will find you out. I'm telling you. Now, it usually won't come out like that. It'll usually come out in the way you treat somebody, or the way you treat yourself. It'll come out, guaranteed. if we don't confess it. How God deals with it is just a beautiful thing, though. He chooses to not ignore it. Isn't that awesome? He chooses to not ignore it. We often think that you know, we can forget about it. Why can't God? He can if we repent. But we have to repent and be sincere that I am truly sorry about what I did. When we do that, here's what God says. Let's read this together. Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. That's what God says. They are crimson to God. Let's not, you know, make this a small thing. They are like crimson. They are bright red to God. And he says, I want to settle this. Let's settle this. Come, let us reason together, as the way another version puts it. Let's deal with it and settle it. Secondly, you need to know that God really cares. You know, Nahum in the Old Testament said, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. That's the Old Testament. Nothing changed about God. He always cares deeply. He knows that you and I are like grass. He knows that we are weak. He identifies with our weaknesses. Jesus came, took on human flesh so that he could be tested and tried in all of the weaknesses in which we've been tried. He understands and he cares about all of this. Little boy is waiting for the bus. Guy inside the store sees him standing out there for about 10 minutes. He goes out. He said, what are you doing? He says, I'm waiting for the bus. He says, the bus doesn't stop here. He says, yes, it does. He says, no, it doesn't. I'm telling you, the bus stops four blocks down. You got to walk down four blocks. He says, no, I'm telling you, the bus stops here. Just about that time, the bus comes rolling in, brakes screech. The door opens, says, hi, Dad. Let me tell you something. What father, what good father, when their child wants something good from them, will give them something ugly? Jesus said, what good father, when they want forgiveness, will give the child a snake? This God, when we say, I am sorry and I want forgiveness, says, I welcome you. Come and receive the very best. He understands and he loves us so much. He remembered us in our weakness. Let's read it. He remembered us in our weakness. His faithful love endures forever. Boy, that's a big word, forever. Forever is a long time. His love endures forever. Oh, you mean even though you sinned 70 times, 7 times? Even though you did it so many times that you can't even count them? Yes, that long, forever, his love endures. And he welcomes us back every single time. Don't you want the whole world to stop for your child like that bus driver? God wants to stop. And he will drop anything in heaven for one repentant sinner. There's a great celebration when people repent, we're told in heaven. A great celebration. And he fixes it. You know, the 12-step program, something that has done amazing work for so many people. There have been so many people who have got out of the muck through 12-step programs. And there are all kind of 12-step programs for all kind of issues. But the way that they do it, it's one thing they have in common is they always say, on the second step, you must submit to a greater power. Keith Miller said this, as I watched the higher power, its personality always had similar characteristics. I knew if everyone just was making this higher power up, it wouldn't happen this way. It couldn't. The personality was always loving and forgiving, moral and courageous and strong, but never abusive, was loyal beyond belief whether people deserved it or not. In fact, when I look closely at the higher power, it had a haunting resemblance to Jesus Christ. Friends, that is Jesus Christ. Has great power. Has great patience, has great humility, has great love and will bear with the worst sinner forever. I am amazed by that. Aren't you glad that David is a hero in the Bible? Aren't you glad that Paul is a hero in the Bible? Aren't you glad that Peter, the great denier, is a hero in the Bible? Aren't you glad that there are prostitutes listed in the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew 1? Aren't you glad for that? You know, when I read about these heroes in the Bible, I think maybe I got a shot. Of course I do with this God, as long as I do this. James 4, verse 10. Please read it out loud. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up in honor. Man. I don't know. I just think that the word if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us all of our iniquity. That's one of the hugest words ever written, if. If we repent of our sin. And there's a whole lot of church people that I'm just afraid don't repent of their sin. They don't think they need to. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We need to repent. And we need to grieve over our sin. And to say, I have hurt God. I have hurt my neighbor, I have hurt my spouse, I have hurt my children, I have hurt my grandchildren. I am a sinner, and I need forgiveness. And when we do that, He is faithful and just to forgive us all of our iniquity. So this morning, I would ask we would begin to sing our hymn. Is Tina in place? No, Tina's right over here. We're going to sing I Surrender All. I surrender all. Will you please stand as we begin to sing, I surrender all. I'm going to invite you, if you would like to come and make peace with God about any issue, you just want to make sure you got everything covered, you want to make a 10,000th confession, today's the day. And I'm going to join you at the altar. I'm going to be the first one at this altar because I am a sinner and I want to come and surrender everything before I receive communion today.